My wife and I, over the last few years, have been on sort of a rotation of Kelowna and then Bend, and then Kelowna and then Bend, and now back to Kelowna. It's a great pleasure for us to be in Kelowna, obviously, because very beautiful weather that we've had so far, and also the fantastic messages. And it's a great pleasure for me to be able to look out and, with these lights shining in my face, almost see all the joint heirs that are seated before me. The messages have been so fantastic, though, that I kind of like to be sitting out there listening to one rather than giving this one. But, you know, as I prepared for this sermonette, I've been thinking, and those of you who know me real well, that's a scary thought, isn't it? I'm going to invite you, if you will, into my mind and try to think along with me, because one of the things I've been thinking about, of course, is the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. And I look into the scriptures, and I find some scriptures that are, to me, are kind of scary. Now, I don't know whether all of you react the same way I do, but I read in Revelation 5 and verse 10, Revelation 5 and verse 10, that we will be made unto our God kings and priests and shall reign on the earth. Excuse me. And I think, Seldon Olson is going to reign on the earth? And what am I going to do when I reign? And I have to kind of ponder that a little bit. And then I read in Revelation 2 and verse 26, Revelation 2 and verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Seldon Olson with power? How am I going to use that power, and for what purpose? Why does God want to give me power? What am I going to do with it? And of course, we look into the parable of the talents, and we find in Matthew 25 and verses 21 and 23, to the faithful servants, we read, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So now I've got these words. I've got reign, I've got power, and I've got ruler. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it'd be awfully easy for me to go on some kind of ego trip here. It'd be awfully easy for me to start looking forward to that day when I am the man in control. And I am the man now who is going to be able to tell everybody what to do. And I'm the man now that people are going to have to listen to. And I recall when I first came into the church, when God first called me, I remember people saying, well, you know, I'm really looking forward to the day when somebody does such and such a thing and I don't like him, I can really zap him, you know? But then I think to myself, is that what it's really all about? And so in my desperation, what I did was I went to a church publication on the gospel of the kingdom. And I want to read for you a couple of paragraphs that I found in this church publication. It says, Jesus Christ will usher in a literal kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth. But this is not the end of the story. Notice Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So now I'm beginning to think, well, you know, what I'm doing now is I'm going to reign and I'm going to rule with power, but I'm going to do it to help establish an eternal kingdom, one that is not just going to exist during the millennium, but an eternal kingdom. And then I read another paragraph and it says, indeed, the millennial reign that Jesus Christ shares with the resurrected saints to whom the kingdom will be given will take place for the very purpose of offering entry into the eternal kingdom of God to all mankind. Millions of physical human beings living at the return of Jesus Christ will live into the millennium, and in turn many generations of humans will be born and live during that time. They will all be given an opportunity to be changed from this physical life and body to spirit, to be granted eternal life and to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Oh, well, you know, it seems to me then that the reason why I'm given this power and this ability to reign and to rule is to serve mankind and to bring all of mankind that will respond into God's eternal kingdom. Oh, okay. Well, now I begin to get a little clearer picture in my mind, I think. And I begin to see myself now as not this all-powerful, domineering, authoritarian ruler, but I begin to see myself now as this person who is serving God in a very clear way, and that is to help to bring other people into his eternal kingdom. Well, okay, well now I know what my goal is. But how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? How do you attract other people into the truth? How do you attract other people into wanting to be a part of God's eternal kingdom? Well, let's see. How did Jesus Christ do it when he first came to earth? Maybe there's going to be some similarity between the way Jesus Christ did it when he first came to earth and maybe the way we're going to do it at Jesus Christ's return. So I look into, and you can look into it also with me if you will, I look into Matthew, the 4th chapter, and I begin in verse 23, and it said, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." How did Jesus Christ attract these people? He attracted them with a loving, serving, compassion, and mercy, and kindness that he could exhibit to them. And because of that, and because they knew that here was Jesus Christ, this man, and they didn't recognize, quite sure all of them did not recognize him immediately as the Son of God, obviously, but they recognized him as this individual who could reach out to them in loving care. So I say to myself now, okay, Selden, what you're going to have to do then is you're going to have to right now in this physical body so that you will be prepared when Jesus Christ returns. You will need to become this loving, serving, caring, compassionate individual, reaching out to those in need, and if you will, being kind to them, showing them kindness. So now in my pursuit for understanding what I did, was I turned to a book entitled God's Treasures of Virtues. And I looked under one of the virtues that is mentioned, and all of you will recognize this as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I looked, and most of you know that this book is just a collection of articles and poems and things of this sort from other sources that were put together under these headings. And I look into this book, and I find a little excerpt under the heading of kindness. And I'd like to read this for you. Because as I look at some of these excerpts and as I think about them, I begin to think to myself, well, maybe they're telling me something about what kindness really is. And maybe they're helping to direct me to become a more kind individual. This one's called Presidential Greatness. When the late President Eisenhower was vacationing in Denver many years ago, his attention was called to an open letter in a local newspaper which told how 6-year-old Paul Haley, dying of incurable cancer, had expressed a wish to see the President of the United States. Spontaneously, in one of those gracious gestures remembered long after a man's most carefully prepared speeches are forgotten, the President decided to grant the boy's request. So one Sunday morning in August, a big limousine pulled up outside the Haley home, and out stepped the President. He walked to the door and knocked. Mr. Donald Haley opened the door, wearing blue jeans and an old shirt and a day's growth of beard. Behind him was his little son, Paul. Their amazement at finding President Eisenhower on their doorstep can be imagined. Paul, said the president to the little boy, I understand you want to see me. Glad to see you. Then he shook his hands, took him out to see the presidential limousine, shook hands with him again, and left. The Haleys and their neighbors and a lot of other people will probably talk about this kind and thoughtful deed of a busy president for a long time to come. So I read that and I say to myself, well, you know, one of the things you're going to have to do as a ruler, and one of the things you need to do right now, is just not think too highly of yourself. Not think that you are perhaps so important and so busy that you can't find the time to reach down and reach out to someone who is truly in need. And to be aware of those opportunities that come along when they present themselves to exhibit the kindness that you can show to them. And I think as we live our lives, no matter how much we achieve, no matter how famous we might become, no matter how much money we might accrue, no matter what position we may have in Microsoft or whoever, we need to guard against that tendency to think that we are really something. Because in just an instant, like the man who thought that all he had to do was rebuild his barns and stock up on all his stuff and take his life in ease, in just an instant, God can say to us, thou fool, and our life may be ended. And then I look into this book and I find another little story that I want to share with you that I think is very important also. Busy in his study, a minister was preparing his sermon for the oncoming Sunday. He reached to the shelf at his side for a book and then remembered that he had left it downstairs. His little daughter was playing in the bedroom and he called her. She came running, eager and delighted at the thought that Papa needed her. He carefully explained where she could find the book, and she went gladly, returning in a moment with a book which he saw at a glance was the wrong one. But he hardly looked at the book as he took it and laid it on the table. He looked only at the eager face of his little daughter, wreathed in smiles. Gathering her close to his heart, he kissed her and said, "Thank you, darling." And when she had gone back, happy and contented, to her play, he went quietly for the book he needed. Then the person who wrote this says, I think I should like to listen to the sermons that man would preach. Can we overlook the trivial things that perhaps people do by mistake? Can we overlook those opportunities that we are disappointed in what someone has done? Can we overlook those times, perhaps, when maybe we have asked someone to do something and they have let us down? Can we overlook those times, for example, when we have counted on someone and they just have not been there? If we can do that, then maybe deep down within our hearts, maybe deep down within Selden Olson's heart, there is some hope that kindness will spring out to the people that he comes in contact with. If Selden Olson cannot do that, if he is the type of individual who is easily annoyed, who is easily disappointed, and who makes that disappointment and that annoyance obvious at the drop of a hat, if Selden Olson is that type of person, then he needs to get within himself and think a little bit more fully. Now, as a teacher for many years, as I taught in El Paso, Texas, and am now teaching at the Cascade Job Corps in the Cedro Woolley area, as a teacher for many years, I come across many, many opportunities to become extremely annoyed. And unfortunately, I do give in to those opportunities sometimes. But I believe that what God has done for me is he has placed me in that opportunity to try to develop the patience, the wisdom, and the kindness to deal with the disappointments, the distractions, and the people who don't live up to expectations with kindness and love. We have an awesome God. He has an awesome plan of salvation. And we have an awesome responsibility facing us. We have the awesome responsibility, as I read, of becoming the types of rulers and types of people in control who will bring other individuals into the eternal kingdom. We also have an awesome responsibility now, and that is to become that type of individual who is truly ready for when Jesus Christ returns. so that Jesus Christ can look at us. And as he said to those faithful servants, well done.